Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Do you delineate in your mind? Star Wars, they're so different. I mean, they are just so different. One felt like it was sort of an allegory of modern society set in a futuristic, you know, space environment, whereas the other was an allegory of modern society set in a space thing in the past. So it is, they are different.
No, but come on, they're fundamentally different. I mean,
the space, right?
Stars. But it's like saying
you're doing another movie with bipeds and they live in structures and they wear material. It's like
that is true.
You know, I always felt like Star Wars had a Western sensibility.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I agree. It's sort of a samurai movie, Western. You know, whereas Star Trek was. When I was a kid, I never liked Star Trek. Growing up, I always thought it was, honestly, I couldn't get into it. My friends loved it. And I would, like, try, and I'd watch episodes, but it always felt too philosophical for me. And we tried to, like, some of the writers love Star Trek. I was not really a fan. My producing partner never saw it.
Right.
So when we were all happy, it felt like that was the way to go. And this movie that we did, the goal was to make a movie for moviegoers, not just for Star Trek fans.
Right.
So if you've never seen Star Trek before, you can see this movie. If you have seen it,
I mean, the interesting thing to me was I stopped listening to you when you said you didn't like Star Trek. I know what happened because I saw your mouth was moving after that. So I'm assuming you apologized.
Well, as I was saying, and I was saying that that you and your kind were much smarter than I was. I couldn't get it. It just was, you know, and so we tried to make it work for people like me and people like you.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Bertold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green. Let's get growing. If he talks about organic material, packaging, metamorphosis, systems, it's just his way of saying compost piles. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time.
What I love about sitting here opposite the lovely Sarah Batka is that she's just, you know, popping one bit of scone into her mouth after another.
What, me?
Try to say something now.
I'm all good.
You are. And she's got her sparkly headsets on. Not everybody in the room has. I want sparkly headsets too.
All right, we'll see what we can find. Do you have a favorite color?
I would say
green.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, green would work. Sparkly green.
I'll look and see.
Where'd you get those, by the way?
I think you can get anything you want on Amazon.
Oh, is that what it was? Are they any good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Who cares? That's actually a drawback, I think, that you can hear me. And we played, of course, at the time. Well, let's do a roll call here. Musketeer roll call. Count off now. Cubby. Yeah. Whoops. Oh, wait. I didn't have your mic on, Cubby.
Is my mic on now?
Oh, yes, yeah, there it is. We are. Right. There
you
go.
Hi.
Rob Carthol.
Good morning, Rob. There's scones in the kitchen.
There are scones in the kitchen.
I got a free donut on the way in today. I was kind of excited.
What?
I know.
How?
Scones in the kitchen.
I
know. They gave you a free donut. Who gave you a free donut?
New Wave Coffee.
Yay.
Give him a ding.
Oh. New Wave Coffee gave Rob a donut, a free donut by accident. They want that back right now, I have you know. They're listening.
Yeah, they are.
And they want it back. Rob Carthol is here. You heard Sarah Batka is here. Lisa Albrecht.
Good morning.
And what new and exciting is going on in that corner of the room?
I'm hoping, actually, that I stopped last weekend of Mother's Day at Garden Shop at Grand Avenue and 45 up in the Lindenhurst area, and I told them to tune in today. So I hope they're listening. They
said
they
would. What was the name of the?
Country Gardeners, I believe. Well, I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden.
In what town?
I think that's considered to be Lindenhurst. It's 45 and Grand Avenue. There's a busy little corner there.
Okay, I don't know.
So I bought some really awesome perennials, and they had Cubs on. And I said, oh, you know what you should have on the radio on Sunday mornings, and that would be the Mike Novak Show.
The Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive
cards,
Talk.
I told them to tune in, and they said they'd have their station all tuned in to us. So hope you guys are listening.
We got Zan has already tweeted. Did somebody say scones? Come on down. We've got how many? We got a few extras, right? Did you bake them yourself or did you just buy them?
Oh, no, I made them.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the baker in the group.
Scones are easy.
Wow.
Yeah, so Zan, you should come on into the studio sometime.
Scones are in the kitchen with Dinah. A big show today, as usual, jam-packed. Oh, and by the way, I have to say that the folks I have not yet seen the Star Trek movie, which I will do. I don't go to the movies very often, I have to tell you. I'm not a movie guy. I mean, I'll watch them on television. That's how pathetic I am. I even discontinued Netflix. Because we had a subscription to it forever and never used it. And money's going out the door. Well, why do we have this?
I have Hulu because I can commit to 20 minutes.
That's your attention span, right?
Well, that's about how much time I have left at the end of the day when I've shoved so many thousands of things into a single day. So I can do a 30-minute sitcom in 20 minutes on Hulu. So
perfect.
Right.
You know, what else do you need? I am going to go see Star Trek. Because thumbs up from Rob. You a Trekkie too?
No, but I got plans to see that movie with my dad next weekend over Memorial Day.
Your dad's a Trekkie?
Yeah, he kind of got me into that.
That's weird. You know, I have to think that's weird. No, because I grew up in the era of the original Star Trek, and my dad, you know, the furthest thing from his mind was science fiction. Okay. I don't think he had any use for it. So if anything were going to happen, I would bring him around, but I wouldn't even try because my dad had no use for stuff like that. Although I suspect he watched it with us and probably scratched his head and thought, what the heck is that all about? And but the idea that your dad introduced you to Star Trek.
It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. I can't comprehend it. So I played that at the top of the show in honor of the late, great Our Town with Mike Sanders because folks listening today needed their science fiction fill. There it is. Now, don't count on me doing a lot of science fiction on this show, folks, although I do happen to like science fiction. We don't have room for it on this program. In fact, let's get our first guest on the phone there, Mr. Rob. What we do have on the show today... We start with Billy Goodnick, who has written a book called Yards Turn Any Outdoor Space into the Garden of Your Dreams, which just came out this year. And you have to understand that Billy is, how do we describe him in the biz? A piece of work. I think that's how you say it. He's a funny guy, and the book is funny, and I've got it right here in front of me. And as you can see, those of you in the studio, it's not particularly thick, you walk through it, and it has everything there to teach you how to do your garden do it smart, how to create a garden. In fact, I should have had this book, 12 years ago when I started the garden in my own yard, even though I was, and I'm using air quotes here, a professional. There are the air quotes. What are you looking for? The book?
I want the book.
Oh, there you go. And it's hardcover. How did he get a hardcover book? That's what I want to know.
It's beautiful.
It is. So Billy Goodnick starts the program today. Rick DeMaio weather at 9:45. What are we accusing him of today, do you think? I don't know. It's accusing him of warm weather. I know what's going on. We're shooting Dig In Chicago Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, and I look at the forecast, and I see rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. When we shot the first three episodes this year, we had rain for 3 days. I don't know what's going on here. Last year, we were blessed, and this year, every time we shoot, we've got rain. I don't know what that's all about, so I'm going to accuse Rick DeMaio of that. Second hour, a friend of yours, Lisa.
Yes.
Liz Houts.
My best friend.
Is she your best?
My
your
bestie.
BFF?
She's my bestie. She's my BFF.
Your BFF yeah. is in the
when
studio?
When we take selfies, it's the two of us, but we don't do that very often.
Selfies?
That's when you take a picture on your own cell phone camera. You know, you got to be hip. If you watch, you know.
I am so far from hip.
Yeah. Not
Lisa,
right. Selfie.
Can you tell me, what does derpy mean?
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Derpy?
Derpy.
Derpy.
What's it supposed to mean?
Should I tweet a 15-year-old and see if I can get an answer to that question?
No, we've got folks.
I have plenty of them.
We got folks on Twitter right now, okay?
All you, derpy.
And you folks on Twitter, let us know what derpy, D-E-R-P-Y?
Yeah. Why are you asking? There's a picture of this dog. I'll put it on Twitter. It's from Huffington Post.
And it's a derpy dog?
I guess so. And I was like, what does derpy mean?
Did they mean to say droopy?
No, derpy.
It was derpy.
All right. Anyway.
Well, this book is beautiful. Let's get this man on the phone.
He's on the phone. He's on hold. And he's going crazy right now because I haven't taken him off hold yet. So he's, as I continue to introduce the show. So Liz Houts and Jenny Schluter, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes.
Okay. They are from the Treehouse Humane Society. They've got something going called Cats at Work. And ladies and gentlemen, no, it's not one of those internet videos that you find on Facebook. Cats at Work are actually in Chicago, and they might be in your neighborhood, and we'll tell you what Cats at Work are doing. Then a new segment on the show, starting at 10:45. Once a month, we're going to have somebody from the Care of Trees come and talk about trees. Today, it's Sean Kingzett, my old buddy. And we're going to talk about emerald ash borer, because it is emerald ash borer season in Chicago and in the Midwest and anywhere you have emerald ash borer.
I proudly killed one last week.
Are you serious? How do you know?
Well, I think it was. It was the greenest bug I've ever seen. It was shiny and beautiful. It looked like a gem.
It was actually quite attractive. It was a really pretty.
I wanted. Next time you kill one, bring it in. All right?
Okay. All right. It was her.
He's going to talk about emerald ash borer plus the effects of last year's drought and the continuing drought. In other areas, for those of you in other parts of the country who are listening to this, and I know that I've become more and more aware that folks all over the country are listening. I've had folks write to me from Vancouver, Washington, from New Mexico, from North Carolina, from Missouri, from California, of course. Annie Haven's out there. I know she's listening today. Annie, let's give Annie and Mupu-T a plug today. One other person who's out there is the guy who's on the line right now, and his name is Billy Goodnick. How are you, Billy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the phone. And don't feel bad about leaving me on hold because I just looked up Derpy for you.
What is it?
Derpy was a character from My Little Pony, but in terms of tweet speak, it's awkward, shy, embarrassing, or dumb.
How did you find it that quickly? Huh.
I have this thing called a computer.
Wow, and it hooks you up to information?
Really?
There's like these little squares on this thing, and you type the corresponding letter, and it looks stuff up for you. It's amazing.
That's crazy. I think I need that.
I want one of those, except that I understand they fill a whole room, you know?
Yes, they do, but and the other thing is you'll probably have to get rid of your 8-track player. To find room for it.
Well, I'm not doing that.
No way. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
How are things on the left coast?
It's here in Santa Barbara, where it's just, you know, brutal. We're descendants from the Donner Party, putting up with the weather here. It's lovely. It's probably going to hit about low 70s today.
Well, you know, it's going to probably hit low 70s here in Chicago today.
Okay, well, then you can grow what I can grow there.
At least on one day of the year, right?
Yeah. Well, except for the palm trees and the New Zealand flax and all that sort of stuff, we have almost identical climates.
Yeah. Other than that, it's very, very close. And I don't, there's no reason why anybody would be in Santa Barbara. They might as well be in Peoria.
Oh, well, the hot dogs aren't as good here, so you got us beat.
Yeah, that is true. I hadn't even thought about that. What would be the culinary dish of Santa Barbara? What would make Santa Barbara famous?
Oh, you go down Milpas Street to Super Rica Taqueria. It's been, Super Rica means fabulously rich. Rica means, you know, like Puerto Rico is rich port, that sort of thing. Super Rica Taqueria just means a place where they make tacos. And it's renowned chefs from all over the world, if they're coming through this area, stop at Super Rica. And the line goes halfway around the block. It's just a little stand. I think it used to be an Orange Julius stand or something. It's just legendary.
Wow. Well, yeah. you know what we have here in Chicago, and it was on my TV show, Dig in Chicago, yesterday. We have the Tamale Spaceship.
And, ooh.
And it is...
Is it like the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
It's something like that, you know? We've got the guy that comes out with the mask, the Mexican mask in there, and he makes the tamales and for you on the street. Actually, he whips them up in advance and then just sort of parcels them out, but those tamales, oh my God, they are just the best.
I'm on my way.
All right.
Actually, my brother will be there Saturday. I'll tell him about it.
Good. Yeah. Well,
my sister-in-law is from Chicago, so they're going out to do some field research on food.
How often do you get into town?
I have only been close to Chicago once. When I was a touring musician, our agent said, I got you booked in Chicago, and we were at the Driftwood Lounge at the Calumet Bowling Alley. I kid you not.
I love that, the Calumet Bowling Alley.
And when he said he was booking us into New Orleans, we were in Metairie, home of David Duke.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like long-haired hippie creep, so it really felt like... what was the movie? Easy Rider.
Well, one of the things that folks should know is that Billy Goodnick is not only an award-winning landscape designer, but he is a drummer. and he's an author.
That's my real soul, but all the other stuff, I'm faking it so I can make a living, because it ain't going to come from music anymore. That was the gravy train for a few years.
Hey, wait a second. See, I tell people... Well, my living isn't going to come from horticulture, so I better...
Oh, no, horticulture is my day job.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I'm in trouble if I keep saying that my living's not going to come from horticulture.
Hey, you're doing something right.
You and I have a similar background in that I ran a theater company in Chicago for 10 years. I started out as an actor, and... you know, folks ask me what my background in horticulture is, and of course I say showbiz. And that obviously didn't turn into a real career for me. So it really did turn out to be horticulture. How funny how many of us slide into that because we can't pay the rent.
Well, I mean, philosophically, I had my midlife crisis when I was about 22 or 23, getting out of music and looking for something else to do. So, you know, if you're doing something because you love the art, but you also have to make a living at it, there's usually a lot of room there for compromise. So I just found horticulture, and the rest is history.
You know,
or soon will be by the time I'm done with the Mike Novak show.
No, I mean, you know, we're all friends here.
There we are.
Right?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm sucking up. You know, this is the fame and fortune. Oh, please.
If this is the best you can do, I need to talk to your agent.
Okay. Well, it's like I told my son when we were raising him, if you set your goals low enough, you'll always have a sense of accomplishment.
And that's it today, the Mike Novak Show.
That's my parenting rule.
Yeah. As I said, Billy is the author of Yards Turn Any Outdoor Space into the Garden of Your Dreams. Okay, I'm going to have to break in just a second. But the first question I have for you, I'll bet you have not gotten before. Well, maybe you have. All right. I try to ask the questions that nobody dares ask.
Uh-huh.
My first question is, how the heck did you get a hardcover for that?
It's my wonderful publisher. Actually, this book started out as almost a novelty book. It was being called Good Yard, Bad Yard, and it was kind of not a flip book, but almost like a recipe book where every two pages took some aspect of design and talked about how to do it wrong and how to do it right. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the outgrowth of, and we'll probably talk about it later, Crimes Against Horticulture, adding a little bit of humor. And I submitted the first 30 pages of the manuscript in that format. And he said, the format we're working on is not good enough for the stuff that you're providing to me, so let's go with a book. And he said, hardbound. Do you know Deborah Prinzing?
Yes.
She wrote A 50 Mile Bouquet. This is based on same publisher, St. Lin's Press, Paul Kelly, and my fabulous editor, Kathy Dees. Got to get a shout out to them. And they had already used this 8x8 format, hardcover, glossy, you know, full bleed images, etc. And I was just knocked out. I was flattered, honored, and here it is. And the other thing is, you know, it's got these sharp corners, so if I need to defend myself, I can use it like one of those throwing ninja throwing disc things.
Yeah, you know, it's thin enough that you can slide it into your briefcase without causing issues. It's uh-huh. It's got the hard cover, so if you're snacking, you can put your sandwich on it and you're...
makes a great trivet.
It's a wonderful trivet. You have a cup of coffee and your cheese, you can cut cheese on it. It's just...
Excuse me?
I said you could cut cheese.
Okay, well, you know, that's where we're going with this interview.
Cheese plate. That's what it. I meant, sir.
No, and my other take on this book is it's because it really is beautiful. I'm just stoked. You know, I spent better part of a year writing words on my computer, black type on, you know, a white screen, and then sourcing about 500 or 600 images that I sent to the art director. I had no idea how it was going to turn into a book, and I'm honored that it turned out as beautifully as it does. But the other thing I say about it is beautiful. It could be on the coffee table. It could be on the nightstand. It's also very funny, so it could be on the porcelain tank. You know, you can.
You know, you're right. Actually, it could. It makes a great bathroom book too. I mean, especially the way you've got it laid out, where you know you look at a chapter or a section of a chapter. You could read through a little bit, put it down, come on back when nature calls, and learn all about horticulture.
I don't want to put it down at all.
Lisa's flipping through it right now, and I don't think we're going to get her engaged in the conversation at all.
I started going like
have
just kind of flipping, but I'm going page at a time now. I'm loving.
Wonderful. Yeah. Make sure you make it to page 122. That's where the crimes against horticulture are.
Right. And as a matter of fact, on my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, not only I had to put a link to your crimes against horticulture link or a page on your own website. I'm a fan of crimes against horticulture photographs, and because so many people do so many goofy things.
I have some pictures for you from my mom's neighbor.
Oh, please. Well, anybody who's Facebook, there is a crimes against horticulture page at Facebook. We got about 2,000 likes now, which stuns me. And it's not just me putting up my stuff with my snarky comments. And, you know, there's takeaway lessons here about sustainable landscaping, how to do it right. So you don't create crimes against horticulture. I mean, it starts from a very serious point, which is, you know, the butchery is the end result of either being ignorant about what plant you're putting in the ground, not knowing how big it's going to get, and resorting to drastic measures to make it conform. But, you know, all the other downstream stuff that happens when you're pruning plants, you're opening them up to infestations and diseases, you're creating green waste, all of that. So it's... There's some seriousness to the fun that we're having here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Wow, I'm looking at this is interesting. I was just looking at my computer array here at the studio, and it's not doing what I really wanted to. But we'll figure that out in a second why that's happening. You know what I was thinking? Are your drums anywhere near the telephone?
Actually, yeah, they're within reaching distance here.
Okay. While I take care of a break here and take care of some business, head on over there and you're going to do a little riff for you're going to do a little.
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have my drum set up.
Disassemble.
No, I gig enough that
darn.
I don't have time to set them up.
It's
oh,
the
you know
trailer.
What? I got a little conga drum stuck here in the corner. You take a break and I'll do a little Tito Puente when you get back.
Okay, that's good enough for me. You know,
okay.
We got to have a little music there. So that's Billy Goodnick. He's the author of Yards, Turn Any Outdoor Space into the Garden of Your Dreams. We'll be having a little performance art here in just a second, so stick around. Sustainability is a whole lot more than just putting the right plants in the ground. And Billy will talk about that in a second. It's understanding how systems interact and making the right decisions based upon knowledge and experience. That's where the expert staff at Lake Street Supply comes in. From soils and compost to rainwater management, anything landscaping, the pros at Lake Street Supply stay up to date on all the latest technologies and practices so that they can help you make smart decisions when it comes to caring for your urban landscape. Lake Street Supply is also an authorized Unilock dealer. For the best selection in pavers and retaining walls, choose Unilock products. Unilock, designed to connect. And remember to say, happy anniversary. I'm going to tell you one more time because it's so easy and so beneficial to you. Say happy anniversary when you visit Lake Street Supply, and you'll get 20% off through the month of May on any of Lake Street Supply's premium line of Fertrell organic fertilizers, Fertrell organic fertilizer and soil amendments. Visit Fertrell, Fertrell.com for product descriptions. Go to LakeStreetSupply.com for hours and directions. Lake Street Supply, when you're in there, say hi to my buddy Mark Moxley. Tell him Mike sent you. They are a thoughtful approach to landscape supply.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Okay, you're showing the derpy dog. Okay, I'm coming around. Hold on.
Well, I've never seen a dog have a bad hair day.
Wow.
This dog is, wow.
Wow.
Has a sad,
yeah,
sad face.
That dog is derpy. There's no doubt about it. Choose your weapon when it comes to pest control. Your organic spray nozzle weapon, that is. Dr. Earth has an entire line of specialized formulas that help control nagging pests in both your garden and your home. Tackles ants indoors as well as those aphids and leaf hoppers that are feasting on your roses. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the root of organic integrity. Go to DrEarth.com where you can find a dealer near you. You can look up all their products. And, of course, you can connect with them on Facebook and Twitter for organic updates.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
There are a lot of reasons to stop in at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. It starts with the amazing display of seasonal and year-round plants, annuals, perennials, vegetables, tropicals, and more. You got to love just walking into the greenhouses there because the color just, it almost assaults you in a good way. And if you want to see what's in stock, just go to AllSipNursery.com and look for the slideshow called Fresh Arrivals. It's right on the homepage. There you'll see photos taken right in AllSip greenhouses that highlight the variety of choices available to you. Also on the homepage, look at AllSip's daily gardening tip called Today in My Garden. I looked at it yesterday and it said, the first time to feed your roses is after they have already leafed out and flower buds are beginning to swell and show a bit of color. Special fertilizers are sold for roses, but you can also use an all-purpose slow-acting granular formula. Scratch it into the soil and water it in. Like I said, there are a lot of reasons to visit either location of Alsip Home and Nursery or go to their website at Alsip Nursery, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com.
Thank you.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Welcome to it. I hope you get on Twitter and shoot us a tweet of your derpy dog and your derpy cat. And I hope you get on Facebook and see what we're up to there. I hope you're listening to the show. You can do that streaming online at MikeNovak.net. You can do it old school, WCPT. Where was I going with that? I have no idea where I was going with that. WCPT, 820 AM, 92.5, 92.7, 99.9 FM. On the line with us is Billy Goodnick, who is an author and drummer, as we found out, author of Yards Turn Any Outdoor Space into the Garden of Your Dreams. Are you ready there, Billy?
Well, I got two options for you. I got the conga drum here, but I also just brought up my band's website with a live cut that we did of the English Beats Mirror in the Bathroom, if you want to hear the real thing.
That's not the real thing. It's recorded,
well,
dude.
Yeah, I got my my little conga drum here, and I'm good for probably about 20 seconds, and then it will become really grating.
Okay.
So I got to put the phone down. I've never mic'd my conga from a phone, but actually, well, the backstory of this, the reason I became a drummer, I was a kid in Brooklyn,
yeah,
5 years old, hanging out at Coney Island with my buddy and my parents, and from under the boardwalk, literally, like the Drifters tune, were a bunch of, I didn't know at the time, probably Puerto Rican guys jamming on percussion instruments, and I was transfixed, and about 2 weeks later, I had my first pair of bongos, but we were living in an apartment building in Brooklyn, so there's no way I was going to have real drums. And that was it. For a while, it was just hand drums till I was 10, and we were living in California, and started taking drum lessons. So here's a teeny bit of salsa conga beat here. Hang on. Did it come through?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was just doing the at the end of that.
You had your Carmen Miranda hat on.
Yeah, okay. Awesome.
And a little coochie-coochie. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much. You know, and what it did is Lisa just walked out of the room, and Sarah just walked out of the room. I'm sorry.
And they left all the scones for you.
They went to eat scones, I think, in the kitchen. Good stuff. Thank you. All right.
Well, thank you.
Back to your book, however.
Please.
I know, because the whole idea, your publishers who are listening are saying, are they ever going to talk about the book?
Exactly. They say, shut up, Billy, get to the book.
No, it's not you. It's my fault. I'm the one that's distracting you here.
Well, I think we're both a little on the ADD side.
Garden Design Magazine called me highly distractible. I'll have you know.
What a great, great way to be described. I love that.
I know.
I tell people my lifestyle is shiny. You know, it's like
exactly
what's going over there. Okay,
a butterfly. All right, and the book. It's as I said. It really, as I mentioned on my website, it clocks in at 140 something pages or something. So it's not something that is daunting. In fact, it's quite an inviting book. It's like I said, it's a hardcover. You can put your coffee on it. You can flip through it. It's in easy to digest chapters. And I think the best part of it, in addition to your peculiar brand of humor that's in it, is that you don't preach, you don't condescend ever. Because there's a lot of folks out there who don't know where to start with their backyards. And you say, okay, calm down. It's okay. It's all right. Here's what you need to know. You need to know about color. You need to know about form. You need to know about texture. And you don't go into too much detail. It's like, okay, well, we'll deal with it. You need to know. And you talk about a lot of different things before you even get to the idea of what plants you should be putting in.
Absolutely. I mean, my intent on this, this book is the outgrowth of 22 years of teaching adult ed continuing education classes and just basically doing a brain dump on people. And it took a few years to really figure out what people did and didn't need to know and, you know, get feedback from them. But my goal here is to show people the process that a professional designer uses. There's a reason why when you drive down the street or you visit someone's garden, in fact, I think you grabbed that quote in there, When somebody looks at your garden, they should be able to think, yes, they meant to do this.
Yeah, I've got it right. If you go to my website, I put some of the quotes that Billy has in the book, and one of them is this, and here's the quote. If someone visiting your yard asks, did you do that on purpose, your yard needs help.
Exactly. So, you know, when the analogy I use is if you were designing a house from scratch, you don't show up at the architect's office with fabric swatches for the throw pillows. You know, that comes toward the end. There's this big process that starts first, which is, what does the site give me? How much room do I have for the house? What's my lifestyle? How am I going to live there? Is it a young family with kids, older retired couple? You're going to build completely different houses. And you only have a limited amount of outdoor space for your garden. And to me, it should be an extension first of your living space. So when I interview a client, because aside from author, I'm a landscape architect. I go out and do people's homes. My first question is, what do you want to be able to do when you go outside, with the emphasis on do? So it's all those action verbs. It's we want to entertain. We want to grow food. We want to attract wildlife. Place to play, etc. And it really starts with that. It starts with the function of what you're trying to accomplish, and that helps define what the actual design is going to be. The color scheme, all that sort of stuff is secondary. If you've got a hot afternoon patio and you can't go out there to eat lunch or dinner, you need a shade tree. And it doesn't matter at first whether it flowers, etc. It needs to do its job. I think you grabbed another quote about teenagers. It's not enough to just look cool. They also have to do something. And that's the way I approach design, and I also approach plant selection, is you start with the function. What does the plant do? Then you think about what size the plant needs to be to do that. Something can be a tree. It can be high, meaning above eye level. It can be a medium-sized plant or a low plant. And you plan your garden just based on sizes and shaping the space. And then you get down to, is it going to grow where I want to put it? You know, will it meet all the cultivation criteria? I have a heavy soil or a light soil. I have freezing temperatures, et cetera. Is this plant going to survive? And then the last thing is make it drop-dead gorgeous. But most people start, not to take anything away from Alsip. They're having their perennial sale right now. But it makes more sense to me to start with finding plants that do the job you need them to do, and then making it gorgeous.
Well, and the point you're making there is, don't design your yard by going to the garden center, picking up plants 1 week, coming home, putting them in, and then next week going back and getting more plants and thinking, where can I put these?
That's what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. It could be.
I had a TV show in Santa Barbara for 5 years, and I co-hosted with Owen Dell. He wrote a great book, Sustainable Landscaping for Dummies, you know, the black and yellow book with a wedgehead guy on the front.
Uh-huh.
And Owen's got a great phrase. He calls it Saturday morning syndrome. You know, you go out for your coffee drink. It's Saturday morning. It's beautiful. You stop at the nursery. Like smart marketers, what do they have right there at the entrance? It's all the stuff that makes you start salivating, and you enter this trance-like state. Somehow the plant ends up in the back of your car. You drive home, you carry it in your yard, and you say, where do I put this? You know, there's a space there. I'll put this plant there. And that's not the process I'm trying to teach people. You can do that later. There's plenty of room for that, but you need to have a plan first.
You know, and unfortunately, that's part of the way I did my yard. But, you know, I paid the price for that, and I've come back and reworked it, and the point you're making in the book is, why have to do that? Start off right, and regardless of what you just said, it might sound complicated, but the way you outline it in the book, it's very simple. It makes complete sense. You relax people and say, think about this for a little bit, go away, come back, scratch some things on a piece of paper. That's the other thing. You encourage people, do some drawings. It's nothing, you know, do it all in pencil, have an eraser handy, and then at some point you will begin to see something take shape, and it'll be something that you've thought a little bit about, and that's the point.
Yeah, and the other thing is, this book isn't only for people who are starting a new garden. If you've got an existing garden, a tired garden, one that's a little overgrown, this helps you make decisions about what to keep, what to get rid of and how to modify, because a lot of plants can be easily moved. Just about any perennial can be moved somewhere else, whether it's for functional reasons or for aesthetic reasons. You can round them up and move them around. And sometimes it's okay to kill a plant. People get sentimental about it. They go, oh, well, it's a green living thing. But if you or somebody else put it in an unfortunate place, there's no reason you really have to live with that. Just throw it in the compost pile, turn it into mulch, and it'll live a happy life in that compost pile in the sky.
Well, no, the book. See, there's the book. I'm looking for the book here in the studio. It's already gotten out of my it's out of my hands.
We're coveting it over on this side of the studio.
And I will never see it again. That's part of the problem here. And it's,
well, you got to run out and buy it like everybody who's listening.
You know, it's under $20, too. It's like $18 and probably less on Amazon. I don't know what they got.
Yeah.
Of course, it just came out. So you want to try to get at least a little bit of commission on this thing. Royalty, but it's called Yards, Turn Any Outdoor Space into the Garden of Your Dreams. Billy, you and I have to chat again on this show sometime when you're not hawking a book.
Okay, well, I'm trying to get myself out to Chicago. I've got a proposal into the Chicago Botanic Garden, and if they nibble, because the book is great, it's my calling card, but I'm traveling around the country. I had something like 25 speaking gigs this year in botanic gardens and garden and flower shows, so I hope to get out your way. And
well, you do that. You come out. Let me know when you're out this way. I will come and heckle you in the audience.
Wonderful. I accept.
What a deal.
Yeah, really. Wow. You're going to be heckled by the best, pal. By the best.
That's it. Well, that means I don't have to hire my professional heckler to follow me around.
I come cheap. All right, just get me in the door, and then we're fine. Billy, thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and I'm sure we will do this again in the future.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's really been a guest.
Have a great Sunday.
All righty, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you call a product go away, you want to make sure it works, especially if the goal is to discourage deer and rabbits who want to devour your garden goodies. The good news is that you can count on Bonide's all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent to keep those critters at bay. Go-away liquid is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations and can be applied directly to your plants, the ones you want to protect, for up to 45 days. Apply go-away liquid directly to vegetables and fruit for protection up to the day of harvest. And go-away granules can be used around all gardens to protect against marauding animal pests, and it's effective for up to 2 months. Look for go-away deer and rabbit repellent products at Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Illinois, Karp's Garden and Feed Center in Hobart, Indiana, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season, offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus, local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil temperatures.
Does this pancake make my face look fat?
And I hope some of you were catching that yesterday, 8:30 a.m. Saturdays on the U2 26.2. And we go out and shoot this week. I'll be talking to Rick DeMaio about that in just a second. It's that time of year again, that time when gardeners start asking me what's chewing on their plants. One way to keep those pesky pests at bay without resorting to all those nasty chemicals is to introduce beneficial predators to your garden, like ladybird beetles, otherwise known as ladybugs. You can pick up pint containers of ladybugs at Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center, and their helpful staff will even give you some tips for keeping those adorable critters happy in your garden. There's something else that's red and adorable, and it's a sure sign that somebody's hard at work taking care of your garden. It's the familiar red trucks of Christy Weber Landscaping. From backyard lots to high-rise rooftops, Christy Weber and her crew are known for installing quality work and paying attention to the little details. They've also got a reputation for being responsive and flexible, and their designers can come to you for a free consultation. Visit their webpage at ChristyWeber.com and like them on Facebook. Certainly the Farm and Garden Center. You can go to Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center on Facebook to receive updates on specials. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Poor Sarah's bemoaning the fact that the lotto or the mega...
One single
mega
winner.
Mega container winner, whatever they call it. One winner. And Florida. Florida!
Zone 8. Or whatever.
Nobody should from Florida should ever win anything, right? I always say that about football and basketball, but and baseball. But you say it about lottery tickets.
Yes,
I know you're upset. You know, we bought one ticket. One ticket didn't match a single number. Not a single number.
I haven't had time to look, but we bought four yesterday, one for each kid.
I think all or nothing.
Not a single number. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Now is the time of year to examine your ash trees for signs of emerald ash borer infestation. The D-shaped emergence holes and S-shaped larval galleries beneath the bark are the most reliable indicators of EAB presence. Other signs include canopy thinning, branch dieback, and even increased woodpecker activity. In the next hour, Sean Kingzette from the Care of Trees will be here to talk more about this problem, as well as treatment options. If you want to talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees about EAB or any other issue, listen up, folks. I have a new phone number for them. 800-508-9466. You might want to put this on Twitter and Facebook there, gals, because here's the way it works. 800-508-9466. Write it down. Call that number for a free consultation. And yes, I said free. And if you call today, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow to set up an appointment with one of their certified arborists. If they don't call you back tomorrow, you call me. You let me know. I'm going to make sure they get back to you tomorrow because they're not there on Sunday. So call the Care of Trees today, 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Rick DeMaio weather in 60 seconds, but meanwhile, it's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor, and you can tell because he can't open a child-proof container. On the other hand, he knows his garden stuff. When planting veggies, Wally always tosses a handful of earthworm castings into the planting hole with some Dr. Earth veggie fertilizer. We're talking veggies, of course. And then a handful of castings around the plant as mulch. Then when you water, a little of that worm tea, and I'm using air quotes here, leaches in to help the microbes in the soil activate the nutrients present. Earthworm castings improve overall soil structure and porosity, aid in the proliferation of soil microbes, encourage vigorous root growth, allow plants to more effectively utilize nutrients, enable soils to retain nutrients longer, assist in aggregating soil, making nutrients more available for plant uptake, improve moisture holding capacity of light soils, and replace lost nutrients. Whew. They do a lot. Go to Bertholdsgardencenter.com or stop in and talk to Dr. Wally in person. Bertholds, get green, let's get growing. 3, 2, 1. All right, everybody sing along, including Ricky D. Whoops, it would help if I did this. Ricky D, Rick DeMaio, speaking of glory days, here he is. How are you?
I'm fine. What is that song you're playing again? I know it's Bruce Springsteen.
Glory days.
Yeah, that, thankfully. I don't know, Mike, after not scoring on the Powerball, no glory days, right?
Not for us. I'll tell you my dream someday of what I was going to do with that money. And I have to admit, I listened to, they interview all these people about what they were going to do with their money.
Yeah, I want to do the silliest interviews.
They're the stupidest.
I would pay off all my debt. I would make sure my parents live comfortably forever, blah, blah, blah.
No, they were saying, I want to get that motorcycle that I always wanted and... You know, I want to buy that hot tub. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to buy a government, okay? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy myself a senator, all right, is with my money, because that's the way it works in America.
Well, I was impressed. My 12-year-old niece said yesterday, because we were all talking, and I bought them each a ticket, and 12-year-old said she'd buy my brother a house. She'd buy her dad a house.
Oh.
I know, because he's recently divorced, and, you know, that... bachelor living in multiple locations.
Just buy him a house cleaner.
She just wants to buy him a house.
He's not like Natalie Wood in Miracle on 34th Street.
Exactly. So sweet.
All I know, Mike, is now I got to do these silly spots with you for the next 42 years to supplement my income.
I know, because but there'll be another one. I guess since California got involved in the big lotto thing, these jackpots are going to get bigger and bigger. They were just thinking they might go to a billion. Can you imagine that?
Oh my God! But in the state of Florida, you don't have to pay state income tax. How do they figure that out?
I have no idea.
Wow.
I'm sure there's lots of papers. Kind of like when you're buying your first house. You just sign. They just keep flipping the pages and flipping the pages. But on other things, you know what, Mike? Have you noticed that the ground looks a little dry in the last couple of days?
Yeah, I did notice that. It's funny you should say that. You know, we just can't win here, can we?
I know. I'm looking around, and, you know, for the first 18 days of the month of May, we've had less than 3/4 of an inch of rain officially at O'Hare, in some areas even less, but... What has been interesting is the high rates of evaporation because of that blast of heat that we had on Tuesday, which kind of came and went like a cup of coffee, and still across, you know, most areas of the Chicagoland region, particularly within, you know, 5 to 8 miles of the lake. As soon as the wind blows off of Lake Michigan, you're down in the upper 50s and lower 60s. So what I have noticed, and I think Lisa will agree with me, Mike, on this, is I have never seen flowering trees flower for as long as they have. Am I right about that?
I noticed that yesterday. I was so excited.
You know, and I have to tell you, I was talking to Platt Hill out at Platt Hill Nursery in Carpentersville in Bolingbrook.
Place for Platt Hill to be at Platt Hill, right?
Yeah, Platt Hill. And that's really his name. And and he was telling me just the other day that and he's a nursery guy. He had never seen trees look so beautiful in a spring.
Right. And the thing about it, and the grass looks great as well. And think about how different this spring has been, you know, to last spring. And now all of a sudden we're just waiting for obviously the mosquito season to begin, but it would be nice if we can just have like maybe 5 to 6 days of weather like today. And we're going to have maybe 3 or 4 of it before, believe it or not, it turns cooler again by next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's amazing the pattern, as much as it's trying to get into a steady spring-like pattern. Mike, the Great Lakes are still so amazingly cold. Now, you'll hear lake water temperature, you know, being right off the news reports is like maybe 49, 50, 51 degrees right along the lakefront. But still, the southern buoy, even though it got up to 43 briefly on Tuesday, is back down to like 41. The northern buoy is still only about 39, and parts of Lake Superior are still in the mid-30s. So once we get this, you know, band of you know, moderate to heavy rain over us, which we will get beginning most likely beginning late tomorrow into Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we turn decidedly cooler for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it looks like right now even Sunday. So I know we don't have a ton of time here, so might as well just get into more of an extended weather forecast. The clouds that you see over us today are actually going to drift off to the east. So to me, it looks like another kind of bright, sunny, hazy day, similar to what we had yesterday. But temperatures probably about 5 degrees warmer, again, right along the lakefront, a little bit of a lake breeze. So maybe only upper 60s or lower 70s. And then this band of showers that has been moving very slowly across the Mississippi River, generally from south to north, will slowly slide over us, beginning probably late tomorrow afternoon. And we could be in, looks like, a fairly steady period of rain between Monday afternoon, Tuesday night, and into Wednesday. So this rain deficit that we've had for the month of May will go away very quickly. And Mike, I sent you some information. I don't know if you talked about it, but this is going down so far as the wettest spring ever in the Midwest. We say the Midwest, we go from Green Bay down to Cape Girardeau to like eastern Ohio out to Nebraska, the wettest spring ever since 1980. And because of that, the farmers have gotten only about 10 to 15% of their crops in. But I got the feeling we're going to make up for that rain deficit over the next 24 to 36 hours. So bottom line, Middle East today, hazy sun, and then clouds tomorrow. Rain rises late tomorrow afternoon, and a steady rain for Tuesday and Wednesday.
No!
Real weather as well.
We're shooting dig in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The last time we did it, it rained for 3 days. Here we go again.
Well, you keep picking the good days when it rains. You know what? Do what you did the last time. Say, Rick, it looks dark to the west. How much time do I have? And then I'll fill you in all that stuff.
All right. I may be calling you. I may be saying, Rick, can we get this in? All right. Thanks, man. And back to cooler. Well, that's good for the cool weather crops. So
cool weather begins Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday of next week. But it looks dry that next weekend, Mike.
Sounds great, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, stick around for the second hour. Talk about cats, and it's not internet videos.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
The ones you're with whom you're spending the day. Get your gaze out tomorrow. Now come on, me. You can be better than that. Better get the better of you. What can be better than that last night?
Welcome to the second hour. All right, what are you guys laughing and giggling about on Facebook over
there? I showed them this week at MikeNovakShow.net.
Oh, you guys didn't go there already? Oh, well, there we go.
I didn't tell him that I did not explain that you'd be posting on your page.
I always post. I always have stuff. You're Jenny, you're all over the internet because your picture there was put on other Facebook posts and stuff. So
I kind of remember that, and that's my dog, Fritz.
Your dog, Fritz?
Yeah, isn't he cute?
And then, by the way, that's Jenny Schluter. Is that how you pronounce it?
Schluter, I guess.
Schluter. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
I was led astray by Lisa.
I did. I coached him wrong.
Everybody's wrong on it, even my family, I think.
Mine all pronounce our name differently.
Schluter is the German way.
How can you get Albrecht wrong?
Because my grandmother says Albright.
That's not how it's spelled.
Correct.
Wrong.
So we went back to the German way. I don't know if it was an Ellis Island thing or she was Irish. I don't know if she was pretending to not be marrying a German. I don't know what was going on there.
Okay. Before we get to, and Liz Houts is in the studio as well, and they're both with the Treehouse Humane Society. We're going to be talking about cats at work in a second. I wanted to take care of some other biz before we do that, because I know other stuff is going on. And one of the things that's happening is something I posted about on my website for the past couple of weeks, and that's the Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse Plant Sale. And I got an email. Now, you might have seen, if I didn't talk about it on the show last week, but they had some issues when they were growing stuff. If you go to past shows on the Mike Novak show, if you go to last week, you'll see we had listed a bunch of plant sales, including the Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse Plant Sale. And they had some issues, frankly, growing some stuff. They just didn't grow as fast as they should have. Part of the problem was cool weather. Rick DeMille's been talking about the cool weather. The greenhouse itself, part of the reason they're selling these plants is to raise money to put a new roof on the greenhouse. That the glass that's on top is dark and it shades light. It should be bringing in more light and it makes it harder for plants to grow. And sometimes they have to take them outside, which is weird when it's a greenhouse and you have to schlep plants outside. I got an email this morning about the Kilbourne Park sale, and they are going on. It started yesterday, and the plant sale went well, from what I hear. And part of the reason is people like Peterson Garden Project stepped up and provided plants. Rob, do you remember who else helped out on that?
No, I don't have the info, but I did hear about Peterson generously donating the leftover plants.
I forget who else was. Sarah, do you remember that?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
But there were some other folks who stepped up, and my apologies to those who did to help out. It's at 10 a.m., so it just started, to 2 p.m. At the Kilbourne Park Greenhouse Plant Sale. And one of the things that folks wanted to call to my attention about that is a special deal they're doing. It's called... all right, where is it? The Easy Being Green Fest, which is today. I should have my Not Easy Being Green song. What's his name?
Kermit?
No, not Kermit. When you whisper, we can hear you on the radio, by the way. That microphone is hot. That's okay.
We'll turn it away from her cute little face.
We will pull that away. No, it's okay. You don't have to stop now. I pulled it away.
Just don't reveal your life secrets.
Yeah, that's right. Just don't.
And then she said.
Yes. You know, it's like these politicians who get on and they're on camera and they think nobody's got the microphone on. You know, how dumb can you be? Now, you, I understand, because you don't do this very often, but you've done it a few times. All right. Anyway, the Easy Being Green Fest is 10 to 2 today. While purchasing your plants for your garden, enjoy a family event at the park focused on food. A kids' table is teaming up with Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse, Urban Worm Girl, and Truck Farm Chicago.
Love her.
Yeah, I'll get to that. Rob. Why don't you just jump in and tell me the location? Rob's like writing on signs and saying,
tell.
You got to give the location. That does happen. Go ahead, Rob. Where's the location?
It's at Kilbourne Park at the greenhouse.
Specifically, 3501 North Kilbourne, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Again, 3501 North Kilbourne.
Rob, you're useless. You're just useless,
Lisa,
dude.
It's a team. It's a team.
it takes a village here.
Reinforcement, Mike.
It's like Rob's right. Give the address, and then he doesn't
and
have it.
Then he doesn't have it.
Oh, good. All right. Anyway, and there's local organizations that to inspire a healthy family living and connect kids to their food, bodies, and planet. Activities include hands-on cooking projects, truck farm tours, seed. See, there's more than just the plant sale going on. It's the Easy Being Green Fest at Kilbourne Park today.
I think I read bake sale too.
They got a bake sale there.
Yeah.
And so a $5 suggested donation will go to Friends of Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse to support the construction of the public nature explorer's garden. And the other word I received about what's going on there today, Kirsten Aker, who handles the plant sale, reports good plants still left, especially onions and greens, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, cabbage, compost. Is there for sale? So, yeah, everybody's excited in the room. Yay, compost. Woohoo. Don't sulk, Rob. I love you. It's okay. It's okay, buddy. It's like he's got his microphone in front of him. All you have to do is hit a switch and say, hey, give the address. But he's writing notes and pasting them on the glass. And that's okay. All our secrets here are out in front of the world for 2 hours. We're totally transparent here on the Mike Novak Show. And while we're talking about that, what else we got today? That's probably of the plant sales we had. That's the last one still going. There's other stuff. One of the other things I did want to talk about, if I can find it here, I got all this stuff.
I wanted to ask Rob, how was Thomas Street yesterday, your work day in Humboldt Park?
It was awesome. And Sarah Joni, thank you for showing up and helping out. Way to go, Master Gardeners. We're totally an awesome bunch of people, and we help each other out.
Oh, good for you.
Did you find a videographer?
No, there was no need. There was no need. We did all the prep work because I'm going to do some little, I'm going to read the little red hen, I think, to my gardeners. That was the lesson of the...
Oh.
You had a bunch of people show up and help out, but they were not necessarily community gardeners. Planning is a really big part of the deal.
It always is. You know, that's part of the deal with community gardeners or in a community garden. Without the community, there's no garden. And a lot of folks... You're right. Little Red Hen is the perfect metaphor for a community garden. Especially, I love the folks who come by, and it happens in our community garden, too, and mine... on my block, folks who show up, for 10 minutes for one thing. And then the folks who...
I usually just come for lunch.
Yeah, there you go. Like Sarah's one of those people, okay?
I always bring bevies.
And then folks who have an idea of what they want to do, which is not necessarily what the garden needs. And you can't... It's kind of hard to say, no, you can't do that, especially if they want to do something. And then there's part of the other problem is a lot of people show up, and this is part of the organization, Rob, is people show up and say, what do I do? And I have to admit, I get cranky because I get tired of telling people.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Mike, cranky.
Ow.
Sarah with the slam.
Whoa.
Good morning.
What was that about bevies?
I do get a little cranky when people, when the 40th time somebody asks me, what should I do now? You know, I'll tell you what to do, okay?
But it's hard when they have, like, shovels in their hands.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Must be diplomatic.
Well, I'm glad things went well there. And the other thing I want to talk about is I know that on Wednesday, the International Biodiversity Day is happening at the Field Museum, and the Peterson Garden Project is part of this. It's a joint Field Museum, Peterson Garden Project, Seed Savers Exchange, and Jewel Events Catering for an event celebrating seed diversity. The highlight of the evening will be a lecture on food origins by the renowned photographer and seed-saving advocate David Cavagnaro. I hope that's how you pronounce it. Cavagnaro, probably. And that happens 5:30 to 6:30 is the registration. And 6:30 to 8 is the lecture in the historic A. Montgomery Ward Theater, and it's only $10. And so that you might be interested in that, and that's going on Wednesday, May 22nd. Now, later, at some point before the end of the day, Lisa, you and I are going to discuss one more thing that you brought up that's going on in Springfield, because there's a lot going on in Springfield
right now. It's the final sprint to voting. So there's a lot of big bills that are being kicked around and negotiated and rewritten and lobbied against. And yes, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I know. And we'll sneak it in. We will sneak it in because a number of them are environmental bills. Sometimes you hear about it, sometimes you don't. You know, what you hear up in Chicago is there going to be a casino? And, the money from the casino go into a wheelbarrow that goes into somebody's garage. And I suspect that will happen because this is Chicago. But we'll also talk about some of the, especially energy, alternative energy in Springfield and what's going on there. So, that being said, welcome to my guests, Liz Houts and Jenny Schleter. From Treehouse Humane Society.
For having us.
Thank you. Sure. Now I'll turn your mic on. You guys, Jenny, you've been there for a while, since 2005, right? I have to tell you something, tell you a story.
2003, actually.
2003?
At Treehouse.
Wow. Yeah. Celebrating your 10-year anniversary.
Yes, I am.
All right, we'll give you a ding.
Thank you.
That is where Treehouse is where Kathleen and I took the cat we found in our yard.
Oh, good.
Little Gata. Aww. La Gata.
La Gata.
Or as they say, La Gatino in our neighborhood. And we thought she was feral, you know, and there I was sitting on the porch and she was wandering around the yard and kept coming up under the porch. And I would yell at Kathleen, don't bond with that cat. Do not bond with that cat. Do not. And, of course, we bonded with the cat.
Yay.
And, yeah, I knew you'd say that because you're cat people. We got cat people in the studio here.
You're a cat person. You just don't know it.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Gata now is part of the household.
Uh-huh.
Although, as it turns out, we don't think she was feral because she was very, you know, loves to be petted, is yeah. not skittish in that regard, you know. We think she got away and was living on the street and was not real happy with that.
Yeah, she's definitely not feral.
Because we've seen feral cats. A friend of ours, mm-hmm. we had another feral cat. And you got to understand, for a while, our backyard seemed to be, because I got this garden and it's sheltered and, mm-hmm. you know, the cats come
Perfect.
In. Oh, yeah, they love it. We've had a number of cats. One of our friends has two of the cats that were born in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And those were feral cats. And now one of them, she got real early. Mm-hmm. And so that cat's fine. The other one was several months old and it's been a struggle just to, teach that cat, how to socialize at all with humans.
You can help with that if she needs help.
Well, I do know that. And we were, that was going to be our last resort, but she's done pretty well with
good.
That cat. In fact, what was interesting is when the second, she got the first cat in real early and that was fine. Then the other cat was, as I said, a few months old and would not bond with anything except the other cat.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Love the other cat, not so much humans, you know? Yeah. But that's changing gradually, so
oh,
that's a good thing.
Good.
But what I was interested in, I'm fascinated by the idea that you are taking these populations of feral cats, and you say cats at work, and it's because they're actually doing a job of keeping rodent populations down.
Exactly.
Explain how this works.
Basically, when you do trap, neuter, return, we run a
into situations all the time where maybe the cats can't go back to...
Okay, let's start with there. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. The trap, neuter, return.
Yeah.
How does that program work? And then what's different about the cats at work?
So the cats at work is just an offshoot of trap, neuter, return, out of necessity, really. So trap, neuter, return involves going into communities where colonies have formed. And people always ask us, what is a colony? You know, I only have one or two cats, it's not a colony. But it doesn't matter. Wherever there's an outdoor cat and they're getting food and shelter, that basically is a colony. And a lot of times people only see one or two, but there are often other ones that they don't see regularly. So we'll come in, we'll assess. We bring humane traps, which are just kind of like long boxes with a little trip plate on
the end. I owe you a trap.
Okay.
I'd like to get my $60 back. And
all right. Let's do that due date.
Yeah. Sorry.
The trap bank has been running low, Mike.
Yes.
Really? Okay. You know, I should have put it in the back seat of the car. I could have just given it. All right.
That's okay. Just go trap a couple more cats with it, and then
you,
we'll be good.
You will get it. Okay.
But anyway, so you bait the trap. Cats are very food motivated, especially outdoor cats. They go in, the door closes, they're not hurt.
They freak out, though, sometimes.
They do freak out. So what we ask people to do is be very cognizant of the fact that they're going to freak out and that you should be supervising the trapping. So we tell people if you can do a feeding schedule and feed in the unset traps or near them, or at least get them on a schedule maybe a week or so before. They learn that very quickly. So near dawn and dusk is the best time to feed. So let's say 6 p.m. every day, you feed the cats. You put the food out for a half hour or so. You pick it up. Pretty soon they realize when the food will be out. So you trap during that time. So it won't take you very long. They're going to go right in at that time. You're going to cover it up. And then you take them to our clinic. We get them fixed up. They recover for 24 hours, maybe 48 for female because theirs is a little more involved. Mm-hmm. And you let them back out.
And that's it.
That's it.
Okay. Thanks for being here. That's all the time we have.
Well,
go ahead.
I just wanted to add, we do also work with homeowners to kind of educate them how to care for their outdoor colonies.
Yeah. But you skipped a step there. Mm-hmm. You let them back out, and now you're suddenly talking colony. Hold on, you know. Time out here. What if I do? Am I stuck with this cat in my yard? And a lot of people would say, do I have to have a colony of cats and feral cats in my yard? What if I just turn it loose someplace else, you know?
Ooh. Well, I would say that's not very humane. The cat is going to try to go back to the location it came from. Mm-hmm. So when we return cats, we literally return them to the same spot that we trapped them.
Mm-hmm.
If we trap them at a certain address in the back of the house, we're not going to release the cat in the front of the house.
Oh, they know we're the front of the house.
You might have a different colony out there. I mean, it happens. But at any rate, usually the homeowners that we've been working with, they've been feeding cats anyway. You know, they care about the cats. They care about...
Well, that's what we found out about the cat we had. It had been fed. We weren't feeding it, but the people down the block were, you know.
It's very often a community effort, and the neighbors don't even know who else is in on it.
Right. It's true.
Yeah, so no one's going to be stuck. So as you're saying, if you didn't want the cats back, because people will say that, well, I don't want to create a colony. We say, well, you kind of already have. We're not really making
But it
you
might
do.
Not be their fault. I mean, the cat
Definitely
just takes
not.
Up residence.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Definitely
you know, I've had that in my backyard where, you know, I want to say a half a dozen years ago, I had a litter in the back of my pickup truck in the garage.
Wow.
In the garage.
Yep. And you did not invite them.
I did not invite them.
No, that's no problem. And that's why when we do go out and do the projects, then what we can do is, so say we go to your house and you say, listen, I didn't invite them to my pickup truck. We'll know that someone in your neighborhood has likely been feeding. So we'll do we have what we call a community appeal letter, outreach letter. We'll pass that around and explain, hey, one of your neighbors has alerted us to some stray cats. We're going to do trap, neuter, return. Here's what that involves. If you've been feeding the cats, let us know. We can get you registered. We can get you resources to make sure they're well taken care of. We'll bring them back all fixed and vaccinated. And 9 times out of 10, there's someone who steps up and says, oh, yeah, I've been feeding the cats. I think they're great. They're keeping the rats away. You know, I'd love to sign up. And we work it out with them.
And that's where we get to cats at the... Oh, you're good. The segue into cats at work. However...
Yes.
Hang on, folks, because I got it. This is a commercial radio show, and I have to take care of some business. In the studio, I have Jenny Schleter and Liz Houts from the Treehouse Humane Society. If you have a question about cats at work, 773-763-9278. I'm sure there's some folks out there who have dealt with this, and I got lots of questions. Believe me, I have lots of questions.
Good.
So 773-763-9278, and they will be happy to answer them, and we will be right back with Jenny and Liz. Are you an Allsip Home and Nursery A-list customer yet? If not, why not? It's free, and you can do it online at allsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P nursery.com. As an Allsip Home and Nursery A-List customer, you are able to take advantage of A-List-only sales events, exclusive A-List pricing on selected items throughout the store, advance notification of new items and product arrivals, and special A-List member events and seminars. In addition, you receive Allsip's regularly published email sales flyer. Here's something else you might want to order online, the Allsip Home and Nursery gift card. It offers the flexibility you need when it comes to deciding on gifts for all occasions. You can order your gift card online securely, and Allsip will even deliver your gift cards directly to the recipient. What could be any easier? Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, or in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, or go to allsipnursery.com. And this just in from Rob, who said caller Bernie added that the Times newspaper voted Allsip number one garden and nursery store in Northwest Indiana. How cool is that?
That's what I heard.
It's impressive.
We give them a ding for that. Yeah. And when you go into Allsip today, say, I heard on Mike Novak's show that you're the number one garden and nursery store in Northwest Indiana. Just tell them that. Just walk up to one of their, you know, look for the badge on there, the Allsip badge, and say, we heard it on the Mike Novak show. And I'm sure they'll be very happy to have heard that, too.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil temperatures.
Does this pancake make my face look fat?
You can't fool Uncle Mike. I know what you gardeners are like, and I know what you want. You want instant success in your yards, don't you? You want a tree that grows in a week and screens the neighbors you wished had moved out about 5 years ago. Am I right? Yeah. See, everybody in the room knows what I'm talking about. Well, you should pick up a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. There's a story about those plants that might satisfy your urge to get something growing in a hurry. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that you'll forget those neighbors exist. I'm just saying that you might be distracted by how quickly plants like sweet autumn clematis, goat's beard, Mexican sunflower, and Egyptian papyrus King Tut grow. And have you heard of the TV show Are You Smarter Than a Chipmunk? There's a that's one of my favorite shows. There's a story about a gardener who discovered a way to outwit the chipmunks who are feasting on his garden. You'll have to pick up the magazine to find out how. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Am I smarter than a chipmunk? I'll never tell. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription before the chipmunks do. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312 312- 642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
I understand that our Marshall Strawberries have entered the building.
Cool.
Woo-hoo. Oh, my goodness.
Very cool. I've never paid $30 for a strawberry before, so I've got some high expectations.
By the way, can you front me a little bit? I'm a little short of cash here today. Well, you know, maybe.
I'm doing my part for biodiversity.
And strawberry consumption. And Leah Gauthier is here. I can't wait till she gets in here. I want to see the strawberries. Yay.
Are you going to the Edible Treasures biodiversity party?
No.
I can't. I bought my ticket, but I think it's sold out.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. I can't go because I'm shooting Dig in Chicago Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I thought you should shoot it there.
We've done so much on the Edible Treasures already. We did a whole segment on it last year. And Peterson Gardens shows up like every other episode now on Dig
In. This is going to be my first visit, so I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. It's really cool at the Field Museum. Folks, if you want to see, you should stop by their Edible Treasures. It's the garden they have outdoor. You know, and we planted it last year, April 3rd. It's ridiculous. It's just crazy. It's the 19th now, and I think they just got it going. Have you been to Chalet? Speaking of Dig In Chicago, Chalet Nursery and Wilmette. Home of the lovely Jennifer Brennan, who is my co-host on Dig In Chicago. Chalet, and these are her words, Chalet has had a facelift and a tummy tuck for the 2013 season. I didn't write that, she did. Stop by to see the floor plan and the new nursery gate. This weekend is the incredible edible event for Chalet Valet members. All fruit-bearing trees, shrubs, and vines are 20% off. Get your warm season vegetables to plant this weekend because the frost-free date for Northern Illinois was May 15th. It looks like we're finally headed into late spring weather. As you might have heard, your impatiens are at risk from downy mildew disease. Chalet has a color handout that will teach which plants, it'll teach you which plants to use as a substitute for that shade-tolerant workhorse. And, yeah, you should know that. Look, there's a Marshall strawberry sitting. Where's Leah? Is she coming in?
Unfortunately, she's doing drop-offs over at the Botanical Center at noon.
Wait. She's not coming in here for 2 seconds?
She has a 2-year-old sitting in the car unattended, so she was very nervous and wanted to fly back out to the
Close
car.
The windows, roll up the windows. The 2-year-old will be fine.
I tried to get her in here, so... She did, however, want me to share that because of the broadcast last week, she had 48 plants that were sold of the Marshall strawberry, and she's certain that there will be more, and so she was very grateful to the show for broadcasting and absolutely to the listeners for participating. So there you go, 48 strawberries that are bringing this plant back.
Oh, that's great. At $30 a pop. But, you know, that's okay.
So
you've got one here. Are there more?
There are. All of our 6 are sitting up front.
Oh, that's great.
So we have 6.
Yay.
One which is Liz's. She just found out she's getting a strawberry plant, and one's going to my house, and the rest are here from the show.
And one's for Ron Cowgill, right?
You told me, well, we counted. We'll count here at the end here.
We bet, yeah. Uh-oh. Maybe Ron didn't get one.
So Rob, Sarah, you, me. Rob, Sarah, you, me. I had 2 and Cowgill. That's 6.
Okay. Yay. All right. Ron, you got yourself a strawberry plant, a Marshall strawberry. But back to Chalet. As you might have heard, your impatiens are at risk from downy mildew. Chalet will give you the color handout, teach you which plants to use as substitutes. Next Thursday at 6:30 and 7 p.m. and next Friday at 10 and 10:30 a.m. Stop in for their mini lecture in May on square foot gardening. Chalet is located in Wilmette at the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue, just 10 minutes north of the Edens Kennedy Junction. Go to ChaletNursery.com. Chalet is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, streaming worldwide on the interwebs. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff that most of you don't take the time to even bother with. but I do because I have to. But that's okay. I've learned to love it, you know, and we have our little duties. I find it interesting that in among the team here, there are the Twitter people and there are the Facebook people. And never the twain shall meet.
It's, as hard as I try to meet, I just can't do Twitter.
And Sarah, what do you have to say about Facebook?
I think the quote was, Facebook is full of old friends that you have nothing in common with. And Twitter is full of people you haven't met yet that you have everything in common with.
Ooh.
Now, that is interesting. All right. She may be swaying me. I just find
You got to come back. You got to have a comeback for that.
No, I thought that was an interesting Facebook. Point. No, Facebook, I am always posting things that I want people to know. Which I'm not sure that they, you know, so, I'm not even keeping up with email lately. So email, Facebook, all of it, you know, and I got a smartphone thinking that would help me stay ahead of the game. And I feel even further behind. There's too much talking
in Facebook,
in Twitter, in cyberland.
There is. I got to tell you something. I did a thing on Facebook this past week about the
Kilbourne issue. That one.
No, it was about the scientific studies on global warming that said that 97% of peer-reviewed articles point toward
consensus
that human beings are responsible for global warming is happening and human beings are responsible for it. 97%. I had a guy, one of the right-wing crazies, just say, he threw one at me from the Heritage Foundation. I went, are you kidding, dude?
That's your source.
That's your source, the Heritage Foundation, right, which is a fake scientific organization. And then he just wouldn't give it up. And he was saying things like, oh, I'm not worried about my kids. They're going to be fine.
And I had this conversation yesterday during softball.
Wow. And he finally wouldn't give up. And he just wouldn't give up. And I don't have my time to waste with people who aren't paying any attention to science.
Right.
I just deleted the thread, which is just sad. You know, I just deleted. I said, I'm done. I can't deal with this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I had the same conversation with my niece's grandmother. So I had to be a little bit careful of where I was headed. But she, for religious purposes, does not believe that any of this is happening, nor that, you know, man has any control because, of course, God, and I know I'm traveling light ground here, God controls it all. So her faith will.
The problem with that is that you have to believe in God for that to happen, okay?
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to offend any listeners or, you know, whatever, but
I will.
But there's science.
That's my show.
And
I get
so
to offend.
I was
offend,
trying to explain, you know, you know, she was saying, you know, how
even
there's
if
no
God, even if God exists, which he doesn't, why would he stick?
Well, I believe he does, and we also can destroy the planet. We make lots of mistakes that.
But that's
God
what I'm saying.
Control.
You said, you know, whatever happened.
This
to,
is one of them.
Whatever happened to free will?
Right.
You know, if you want to, go down the God road.
Right.
Okay. We'll do that sometime. Maybe we'll just go off on that tangent. Okay. But meanwhile, we're talking about cats. back to cats.
Circle.
Yeah.
Jenny, God created those.
No, they actually evolved out of nothing, okay, and crawled out of the primordial slime. I don't know if you realize that, but
not our kitty cats.
Yeah, that's right, kitty cat. Look at you're still covered in primordial slime. Oh, that's so cute. Sorry, Liz is just cutting me dead with that look. So.
She's agreeing with everything you said.
Jenny Schleter and Liz Houts are here. Okay, cats at work. We were getting to how this works, and I've got some. We've actually got a call we'll get to in just a second. But so starting with the idea that feral cats, you get them neutered, they establish colonies, perhaps in your backyard. There they are. How do you get them to punch in and have you managed to unionize them is what I want to know.
They don't have a union yet, but okay. The great thing is you don't even have to get them to punch in. I mean, the wonderful thing I like to joke, because people will often compliment us on this program. How did you come up with this? And I say, wow, I really can't take the credit. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they've been doing forever. That's why the Egyptians kept them around. And that's why they sailed, you know, with all the Spanish, Christopher Columbus and everybody on the boat, so that they wouldn't die of the plague and they would have some food. The food would last them. I mean, it's just what they do is they kill rodents. So
when you have cats around, they're going to kill rodents. And as we all know, Chicago and most cities have rat problems.
Well, I can tell you, specifically in my neighborhood, and I live in Logan Square, in the south part of Logan Square. And when we moved in, it was rat heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It was just rat heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that over the course of almost 13 years now, that those populations ebb and flow, mm-hmm. as does the feral cat mm-hmm. population. Mm-hmm. It comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're in a period where I'm not seeing either.
Okay,
For a long time, it was rats. Then there was a lot of cats, and there were no rats. Now there's really not a lot of either, and I don't know where the cats have gone, and I don't know where the rats have. Well, I suspect that when the cats were there, I know where the rats went.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You were going to make a point here about that.
I can tell you what I think happened there. So up until recently, the city of Chicago has chosen to deal with the cat issue, like most municipalities across the country, by sending animal control officers out to trap and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, then, of course, the rats are prolific. But humans have not stopped abandoning or not spaying and neutering their pet cats. And therefore, they get out. And so then a colony forms again, and the same thing happens. And the rats go down. But then there are a lot of cats, and someone calls. And so they come and collect them and kill them again. And so this is the cycle that has been going on for years, which we're trying to stop. So we will stabilize the population so they're not having more babies. They're not doing the nuisance behaviors that so many people hate, you know, the spraying, the fighting in the alley, the constant litters of kittens.
I haven't heard a lot of that in forever in my neighborhood. With when the cat population was large,
uh-huh.
there wasn't a lot of that noise and mm-hmm. the cats fighting and that sort of thing.
But we've done a lot of work in Logan Square.
In
Logan Square. And
oh,
Humboldt
so you
Park.
Guys, I can thank you guys. Oh, okay.
Well, we can't take all of the credit. Carrie Johnson, who was on maternity leave from Treehouse, managed a project whereby we spayed, neutered 1,500 cats.
Oh, my goodness.
In just over a year.
In Logan Square?
Well, Humboldt Park, Logan Square,
okay.
and a little bit of the surrounding. 6651 and 47.
That's remarkable. Thank you.
It was amazing.
Amazing
project.
And I know that the Cook County has been dealing with this as well. They mm-hmm. they are dealing with feral cat populations. They passed some kind of law in 2007. What's that all about?
Treehouse was instrumental in helping write that law. So it's really been great because it's helped formalize this program. So before, this was an underground program, you know, the stereotype of little old ladies doing it in secret at 3 a.m. and feeding the cats and don't let anybody know, and because the neighbors are going to get angry and throw stuff at her. And so what we were able to do is, you know, formalize the program so that it is legal for people to feed the cats. Because let's face it, lots of people like to feed the cats. They see them, they're going to feed them. They're going to do it either way. But let's make it so that they're accountable, that there's an organization that's overseeing it. And Treehouse is one of 6 sponsor organizations in Cook County
mm-hmm.
that oversees the caretakers.
And it looks like I posted the link to the article about this that was in the Trib a little while ago. And it looks like it's been a fairly successful program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been doing great. I mean, the estimate, it is kind of hard to have a really good estimate. There was a formula before that was estimating the population in Chicago about 500,000 stray and feral cats.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a new formula that's taken it down to about 300,000. Either way, it's a lot of cats. And so what have we done? I think all of the organizations together by the end of 2012, was it like 17,000 or something?
I'm looking up the article right now. Here we go. The program, the Managed Care Feral Cats mm-hmm. Act, Cook County officials say that it has reduced the feral cat population, preventing the birth of 336,000 cats.
Mm-hmm. The birth, yes.
Yeah, preventing.
Yeah.
That's an estimate, obviously.
Yeah.
About 12,000 cats have been spayed or neutered and vaccinated since 2007. Is that you saying high, low, what?
That was, I remember now looking back. They were a little bit off on that. I think that was just in the city. And so in the outlying areas of Cook County, I think it was about 17,000 altogether since the ordinance passed that we fixed.
17 plus 12 or altogether 7?
Altogether.
Okay.
And
that's still pretty darn good.
It's good. We're getting there. We're chipping away. I mean, if the estimates are 300,000, we have more to do.
All right. We got to do this quickly because I don't have a whole lot of time because I got two important questions. I'm going to start with the phone call. And it's Amanda, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Mike. I was calling with a question about when you trap a cat, where would one take it?
That's a great question. When you trap a cat, well, and if you're going to trap a cat, you want to get the right trap, and that's what we did. We went to Treehouse, and we got the trap, which I still have in my basement, and we're going to return it. But explain how that happens.
So, you can bring the cat to our clinic. It's the BDVM McLean Spay Neuter Clinic at 1629 North Ashland Avenue. There are also two other clinics in Chicago. I think we're the luckiest city in the world. The Anti-Cruelty Society and Paws Chicago both have low-cost spay neuter clinics as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, and do you have cats in your neighborhood you want to take care of, Amanda?
You know, there are cats in my neighborhood that I don't feed, but my neighbors do, so I will give this information to them because I think it's important to spay and neuter your animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Cats. If they're going to feed them, Liz, do you want to say something?
Yes, I was just going to say we do have a trap neuter return hotline at 773-784-5488, and it's extension 234. And if you want to tell your neighbor, give us a call. She'll get an answering machine, but people pick up the messages every single day, and we will get back to her. We can counsel her what to do.
What's that number again?
773-784-5488. Extension 234.
And we will have that immediately out on Twitter and Facebook because
Perfect.
Lisa and Sarah are doing that. And thank you, Amanda, for listening to the show. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And before we go, real quick question because Sando the bus driver asked this and I asked it and I actually posted about it. Birds.
I'm so glad you asked because it's been a hot issue. So
it is. It continues to be a hot issue because the cat people say, oh, it's not a problem. And then you have studies that I found by the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They concluded that outdoor cats account for 1.4 to 3.7 billion, bird deaths each year, with mammal fatalities ranging from 6.9 billion to 20.7 billion annually.
I wish people in Radioland could see me rolling my eyes right now at that study. Not to be totally disrespectful, but it was pretty shoddy science. I am not a scientist, but I've been speaking with a lot of scientists, and we have a volunteer in our program that is a wildlife biologist. And there are a lot of theories out there. There's not a really easy way to study what they're killing. The circumstances change all the time depending where the cat is.
But didn't they recently have kitty cam on, you know, it was in Georgia they did the study with the kitty cam?
That's a really important distinction to make. So the kitty cam study was with pet cats, and those are pet cats that go in and out of homes.
Okay.
Those pet cats hunt for recreation and fun because they know they're going to go in at night and get a nice dinner, a fancy feast or whatever. So those cats take the risk of trying to hunt birds. Feral cats who know they have to conserve their resources do not try and get a flying object. They don't fly.
Yeah, but they can go to a bird bath, to a branch, you know.
Absolutely. Generally, there are a lot of other studies out there that show, and what I can even say just from managing my own colony in about 10 years, number one, that cats, first of all, are opportunistic feeders before hunters. So they're going to get whatever's easiest to eat, which is why when the little old ladies or whoever, I hate to even say that stereotype, when a kind person puts food out, that's where they go
to eat
first.
Yeah, just say a kind person. I think that's the right.
A kind person puts food out, that's where they go to eat first. Second, if they have to hunt their rodent specialist, so they prefer hunting rodents, and that's why they've been so great with rats. Third, I'm not going to say cats will never kill birds, because that's not true. Of course they will. But that's nature. I think in my yard, for example, they bring me several rats or mice, probably a week in general during the high season. In a year, maybe two or three sparrows, or once in a while a pigeon. Very rarely. Very, very rarely. So they're certainly rodent specialists. But mostly they don't do that. Mostly their presence repels the rats away.
Well, this is the same thing that happens every time I talk about this. People, the cat people say, no, the study's faulty. Mm-hmm. And the bird people say, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. The cat people are crazy. And it goes back and forth. So we have to... I don't know how we resolve this, but mm-hmm. this is, I'd love to have your scientists meet my scientists and have them duke it out on the show at some point.
We're already talking. We're in talks right now with the Fish and Wildlife Service, with the local representative.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, we'll do more, but thank you both so much for being here. Jenny Schlieder and Liz Houts from Treehouse Humane Society. You can find all information about Cats at Work at my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you're welcome back. We'll talk again and maybe duke it out about the birds, right?
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Roses are red and white and pink, but not blue, and will fall prey to pests, so here's what to do. That rhymes. Treat them right. Save your buds with Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 Concentrate. The organic concentrate contains the organic insecticide neem oil along with a miticide and a fungicide. It attacks all life stages, eggs, larvae, and adults, knocking out aphids, mites, scale, whitefly beetles, and leaf rollers. It also prevents and controls black spot, anthracnose, rust, scab, blights, and stops powdery mildew in as little as 24 hours. Bonide's Rose RX is good not only for roses, but all flowers, as well as fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, houseplants, trees, and shrubs. It may be used indoors, and it's easy on beneficial insects. Try Rose RX by Bonide. You can find it at these local retailers: Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Mel's Ace Hardware in Elmhurst, Gensler Gardens in Loves Park, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. Be sure to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or Droid.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Get ready for Bertholdt's Garden Center Memorial Day Get Green Weekend next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 25th, 26th, and 27th. Did I get that right? Yeah. Wait. Next week is the... Now I want to make sure I got the...
Is it really Memorial Day weekend next week?
Yeah, we're already there.
Otherwise known as my birthday.
All right.
But I know, it's good to have a national birthday, so people have the weekend off just to celebrate.
And hey.
I'm Labor Day weekend.
When's your birthday?
The 26th. So,
oh my goodness. That's the show date.
Yes.
So you're not going to be here, right?
Correct. I will be under the sea. Whoa, scuba diving, looking at nature that we don't normally get to see on a daily basis.
And I just realized that it's not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is the 25th, 26th. I knew there was something.
Yes, it's
wrong
always
about.
Monday.
Sorry, guys at Bertholdt's, but let the folks know. 25th, 26th, 27th is Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And one of the ways Bertholdt's will celebrate this holiday is by giving you 20% off on veggies, herbs, fruit trees, and berries. All tropical fruit trees. All Dr. Earth fertilizers and soils, Bonide Garden natural products, Orcon beneficial insects, and select items in the flower shop. On Saturday, May 25th from 1 to 2 p.m., Dr. Earth's Lisa Grant will present Healthy Soil at the Root of the Solution. She will share her know-how on protecting the health of the life in your soil, as well as how to promote vibrant success in your own fruit, vegetable, and ornamental gardens. Then from 2 to 3... on Saturday, Dr. Wally himself, Bertholdt's garden manager, Wally Schmidtke, presents tremendous tomato tips. He's been doing that for years, and he has some great tips. He'll cover all aspects of growing tomatoes organically. Of course, you can stop by this weekend, too. Bertholdt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front, or go to Bertholdt'sGardenCenter.com. Bertholdt's, get green, let's get growing.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Dr. Earth's Liquid Solution Fertilizer, a 100% organic and handcrafted blend, pumps your plants full of primary essential plant nutrients. Use Dr. Earth's Liquid Solution Fertilizer to boost your vegetables, flowers, potted plants, trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and lawns. Just mix with water and apply to the soil or foliage. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth's Liquid Solution. Go to DrEarth.com where you can find a dealer near you and connect with them on Facebook for organic updates. Search Dr. Earth Organic Products. And I think it's this one. And this is in honor of you, Lisa. Yeah, losing my religion. Okay. Let's
You're quick.
Let's go to the phones, bring in Sean King Zett from the Davey Tree Expert Company, parent company of The Care of Trees. How are you, Sean?
Good morning, Mike. I'm well. Yourself?
All right. I'm sorry, we're a little short on time here. But EAB, we're at that time of year. Where we have to look out for our ash trees.
It is important to protect your ash tree.
Yeah, so they say, cover your ash, right? It's every horticultural joke in the book. One of the things that you and I chatted the other day, and you were saying that, you know, folks, you can just assume that emerald ash borer is here over the whole area, right?
That's correct. It's widespread throughout Chicagoland, and we're seeing a lot of symptoms are showing up. A lot of ash trees did not make it through the winter from the emerald ash borer damage, and they look pretty bad. And so if you have an ash tree that looks decent and you want to save it, then you need to decide to do something about it right away. I don't like to be an alarmist, it is kind of at that state where if you don't do something or if you want to try to do something, you have to make that decision immediately.
And you're saying make it in advance. Don't wait till you see the damage.
If you wait till damage, it's too late. They've already, too many borers have eaten into the tree too much, and they'll have eaten what we call the cambium, the part of the tree that carries water and nutrients up and down the tree, and the tree just won't be able to get water to its leaves where it's needed.
What about cost? It's obviously there's going to be some cost involved in keeping your ash tree going, especially if you got to do it before you see symptoms. So how do you figure that in?
That's a good point. If somebody wants to try to save their tree, they need to consider that this is going to be an ongoing maintenance item. There's two different treatment options on smaller trees. Well, there's more than two, but there's two main treatment options. One is something called imidacloprid, which needs to be done annually. It can be put at the base of the tree, and actually homeowners can buy some of these materials themselves. And this imidacloprid is effective, but it works best on smaller trees. And that one can be relatively inexpensive. There's a more effective product called triage. It needs to be injected into the trunk of the tree. It is not available to homeowners, and that material is relatively expensive, but it does last for 2 years, and it is quite effective. Exactly, we have to see the tree. It's based off of the size of the tree, but anywhere from, let's say, $100 to several hundred dollars, depending on the size of the tree, would be a good sort of guideline to give somebody a perspective of what it might cost them.
$100 to $200, but each year?
Well, it depends which one. The triage is every other year, but it might be several hundred dollars.
Yeah. So I guess the determination you make, is this tree how important is this tree to me?
Yes, exactly. Where is it located at? Does it mean something to you? You know, did you plant that with your grandfather 25, 30 years ago? You know, there's different reasons to try to save a tree. And somebody does need to have the expectations that they might not be able to rescue their tree.
Yeah.
And call one of our arborists, and we can help you walk through that process of whether this tree is something worth saving, you know, that we have a decent chance of saving it, and it's a good candidate for it. And then, you know, sometimes it's just going to be, hey, we can't do anything. And actually, a lot of municipalities are actually treating their trees not to try to save them all, but to try to defer cost.
Yeah. All right. Well, the new number, 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466. The Care of Trees will give you a free consultation. You call them today. They'll call you back tomorrow, and they will be set. Sean, I apologize. I'm flat out of time. We're going to do this again real soon so that we can talk a little more about EAB, okay?
And drought. Sounds good.
All right. You take care, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye now.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And let Milorganite, an eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, help you accomplish your gardening goals. Start by adding several inches of organic matter to the top 6 to 12 inches of soil. Peat moss, compost, and other organic materials improve drainage in heavy clay soil and increase the water-holding ability of sandy soils. Incorporate Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer into all your planting beds. The low nitrogen formula makes it goof-proof so you won't harm young, tender plants. The slow-release formula provides small amounts of fertilizer over time, encouraging overall growth without preventing flowering and fruiting. And properly prepared soil will help your plantings better survive the heat, drought, and pest attacks of summer. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
And that brings us in here. It's all the time we have left. I want to tell folks there's an interesting article Mary Schmeek wrote in the Tribune about our friend Kathy Cummings and her fight for the weed law. If you go to the Trib today and look up Mary Schmeek's column, and I believe it's in section whatever, B, A, I don't know. it's there. All right. Until then, we just say go green or
go home.